So we're now going to hear from Uta, who's at home, and she's going to do part two of a one and only Christmas snippets.
Here we go. It is Saint Nicholas again. Well, Santa Claus, Nicholas. He appears in different countries, on different days even, in December. Well, and he has different customs. So, we go into little different things. So why is holly, for example, associated with Christmas? The barbed leaves and the red berries of the holly plant have long been identified with eternal life and protection in Great Britain. At first, the Christian Church took a disapproving stance to a holly, forbidding it from appearing in churches. But the spiky leaves still appeared in people's houses, as the red of the berries was thought to ward off witches. In fact, well, of such popularity it was that the custom was sanctified, the leaves taken to represent Christ's crown of thorns and the berries his blood. And of course, special care had to be taken with such powerful and lucky plant, and so did the decorations, which were traditionally taken down on Candlemas, which is the 2nd February, were never thrown away but burned. And I'll give you a bit of history of Christmas while we're, well, in the Christmas season, in the festive season. What is the history of British Christmas celebration? Lord of Misrule is a historic figure who was central to British Christmas celebrations until the Puritans managed to ban the festive season in the 17th century. And the Lord Misrule, that's his name actually, was an elected individual who was charged with coordinating the seasonal revels of the Tudor court and in houses of nobility across the kingdom until Twelfth Night. At that time, the festive period saw servants and the poor given food boxes, and there was much drunkenness and celebrating. Well, not much different than these days, is it? The concept of Misrule celebrated this annual reversal of traditional social groups, and in Scotland, the Abbot of Unreason played a similar role. So, when did Christmas actually become Xmas? The first example of the abbreviation Xmas began being used can be found in the 15th century ecclesiastical writings. The X originally represented the first letter of the Greek word exu, whatever, I can't read Greek, sorry, meaning Christ. And of course, its prominence in the 20th century probably had more to do with the fact that Xmas has the same amount of letters as the word sail. Oh, well, that's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it? So, have you got any idea when actually the first Christmas card was sent? In 1843, John Calcott Horsley sent a first printed Christmas card for his friend Sir Henry Cole. And the card caused some controversy at the same time because it depicted a small child drinking wine. But in spite of this, the idea of sending festive cards soon caught on. And one of 12 surviving cards from the original print run sent by Henry Cole to his grandmother was sold in 2001, now gasp, for £20,000. Well, I always wonder, how did the Victorians celebrate Christmas? I know how the Germans celebrate Christmas, but let's read it from the Victorians. Well, much of our understanding of a merry old English Christmas has more to do with the writings of Charles Dickens or Washington Irving than our real medieval ancestors. For the early Victorians, Christmas was an antiquated curiosity, but one of the English bourgeois were beginning to remember. And Dickens, A Christmas Carol, is more an idealized romance based on his own childhood memory rather than a chronicle of what was happening at the time. But when we had Christmas cards, crackers, and the sense that Christmas was time for family, well, we just started discovering Christmas. And actually, this is how the Victorians did it. Because in memory, rather than a chronicle, well, the Victorians just rediscovered Christmas. And from then on, it started being your Christmas too. And there's a history of Christmas decorations as well. So why do we have Christmas trees? Have you ever thought about it? The Christmas tree was first introduced to the UK in 1800 by the wife of King George III, Queen Charlotte, who brought the tradition from her native Germany, where it was common custom to have a Christmas tree in your home. She requested a yew tree be brought to Queen's Lodge in Windsor, which she decorated herself. And so now that's a question. Where is the oldest Christmas tree? Rest Park in Bedfordshire is believed to be the site of the world's oldest surviving Christmas tree. Planted in 1856 by Thomas de Grey, the tree was brought into the mansion every year and decorated for the family's festivities, and then replanted in the park once the holiday was over. Eventually, the tree grew too big to be moved and now stays out in the park all year round. However, English Heritage, who owns the site, have previously revived the tradition of decorating it. That must be outside because it's now too big to be indoors. So I'm surprised about this number. Well, what kind of number? The number is 88%. Well, 88% of what? This is the percentage of people in the UK who said they celebrated Christmas last year. So why not 100%? Is it the faith for other celebrations? Is it the financial situation, being down to unemployment or low wages? Or is it stress? Well, stress can be one factor, and there are small ways to improve when you are stressed. As simple as it sounds, just ask. If it isn't clear what your friend needs or wants, you can ask them. How can I best support you? Roberts, that's a psychologist, he advises. And the question alone, demonstrating a willingness to be there for them, can mean a lot more than you might think. Also, if your friend reveals that they are having a tough time, make sure you take a pause before leaping in with advice or suggestions. And they may just need space to start off with, like, a new mindset. So switch off. Yes, switch off your brain for a bit. Give it a break in between. Go to the toilet, sit there for 5 minutes. Come back and be a different person. Manage your mental inbox. Like managing an email inbox, it is important to stay on top, giving yourself 20 minutes a day to sit down and list all the niggling worries that have been clogging up your mental inbox can help to give you back a sense of control. It's always worse in your head. If you can get things down on paper, it is easier to make sense of your next step. So, we're heading towards Christmas. Have you wrapped all your presents? Are you giving presents? Did you set a limit? Did you point out certain people you want to give a present to? So, what giving presents on the 25th of December does actually mean? It doesn't have to be expensive. While giving presents is a normal part of Christmas celebrations around the world, very few countries actually give and receive gifts on the 25th of December. In many other European countries, it is custom to give gifts on the 24th. That's Germany, we know that. And in Spanish-speaking countries, it is often custom to give presents after Christmas. The United Kingdom is one of the few countries where gifts are opened on Christmas Day itself. So look forward to an easy Christmas. Listen to a Christmas classic. Mariah Carey will present a show marking the 30th anniversary of her hit All I Want for Christmas Is You on BBC Radio 2 on Christmas Day. And this, listening to that, costs nothing. So watching the King's speech, are you going to do that? Did you watch the Queen's speech all over those years? Now it's the King's turn. Well, ever since 1932, when King George V gave the first radio broadcast on the BBC's Empire Service, the King or Queen's speech has been an important part of British Christmas culture. Nowadays, the monarch's Christmas message is watched on television by millions of British people every year. Well, wherever you will be, with whom you will be, or if you are on your own, make it a good Christmas. Frohe Weihnacht and Merry Christmas to all. Goodbye from Uta.